Well, good evening, everyone. It's nearly Christmas. Five more sleeps, I think, if I've counted right. I don't know what Christmas is going to look like for you this year. I imagine for almost all of you, it's going to be smaller and different in some way. But I do hope that you'll be able to open a present or two that someone's given you, and you'll have been able to share a gift with someone else, because that's such a lovely part of Christmas, isn't it? Sharing gifts. As we think about gifts, though, I'd love to ask you a question. Do you like an unexpected gift? A surprise gift? Or are you the sort of person who likes to write a list that people must choose from if they're going to get you a gift? I guess your answer to that, and my answer to that definitely is, well, it depends on who's getting you the unexpected gift. Because, you know, like, there are some people, don't they, when they say they're going to get you a surprise, that kind of fills you with dread. Because they might get you a dodgy Christmas jumper when you really, really were after a new computer, or they might get you some socks where you really wanted a new DVD. Some people aren't so great at getting surprises. But there are others that we love it when they get surprises. We rejoice when they say, oh, I'm going to get you a surprise. Because they're the sorts of people who think about, they know as well, they know kind of what would work for us. And they've maybe got some good resources so they can get you something decent. When you hear that they're going to get you a surprise, you get filled with excitement. You can't wait. I'm looking forward to it because this gift is going to be brilliant. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be ace. I guess that would depend. That would help you figure out whether you liked unexpected gifts or not. Well, we've come up to Christmas, and this Christmas is certainly a different year to last year, isn't it? We've had actually an unexpected year. Life really is quite unexpected all the time. We don't really know what's going to come next, but this year in particular has been very unexpected, and it's not been an unexpected good thing. It's been an unexpected bad thing. Who'd have thought that the carol service this year wouldn't be able to take place in church? You'd be watching it online at home. Who'd have thought that you'd have a mask like next to your wallet or your purse or in your handbag and your keys, because it's so necessary now for just everyday life? Who'd have thought you couldn't see your friends inside? And who'd have thought our hospitals would be full of people with an illness, a disease that we hadn't even heard of this time last year? It has been a very unexpected year, and it's been hard. Hard for all of us, very, very hard for some of us, and almost unbearable for more. So as we think of this year, this Christmas time, can I ask you a question again? If you could ask something of God, any question you like, any request, and you knew it would be answered, what would it be? Perhaps some of you just say, look, I don't want to even talk to God, because if God is powerful and he could sort this out, and he hasn't, I don't want anything to do with him, and you're just angry. Maybe some of you are just curious, but still pretty frustrated. You want to know why. Why God? Perhaps some of you just want God to stop this, so you go, God, please get an end this pandemic. Perhaps some of you are just in such a bad way, and you're looking ahead and you're thinking, I don't really see a way out of this soon enough, that you're getting worse. And all you can think of asking God for is strength to get through the next day. Whatever you might ask God, this year, which has been hard, has definitely affected it, hasn't it? And bad times and and the pressure of suffering and hardship really affect the way we think about God. I think it's really worth reflecting at this point that that's not that new. That has always been the case for people as they thought about God. 3,000 years ago, or just less than that, a psalmist who is like a writer or a songwriter or a poet wrote in a psalm in the Bible. And it's Psalm 13, and it's really pretty almost a bitter prayer to God, a request God for help because stuff is so hard. It says this as it begins. It says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul?" That says, "Be without you and have sorrow in my heart all my days. How long may my enemies exult over me?" The point is, this guy, 3,000 years ago, close to, is frustrated and just prays to God because life is hard and stuff is difficult. So that's not new. But what if God answered back? What would you want him to say? What would you expect from him? Well, you know, at Christmas time we give each other gifts, don't we? And the type of gift you give somebody really is an indication of how much you care about them, isn't it? If I go to my wife and I give her an orange that costs 5p from Aldi, and she opens it on Christmas Day, she would be deeply disappointed because it would not really reflect my love for her at all. But if on Christmas Day she was to open a £500 piece of jewellery, she would be overjoyed because wow, she'd be enamoured with this great gift, and she'd be saying, "Thank you so much. You must love me so much." The gift you give, and the greatness of that, and I guess the cost of it, is really an indication of how much you care about someone, isn't it? Well, if God was gonna answer the prayers of his people and the frustrations of his people, what would you want him to do and say? Well, God has answered, not the specific prayers, but he has come to us to meet us in a really big way. And he came to do that at Christmas. And he gave a gift at Christmas too. Now, obviously, it wasn't an orange, and it wasn't a 500 piece of jewellery. It wasn't a £50,000 piece of jewellery either. It was more valuable than any of those things. In fact, God gave the most valuable thing he could ever have given at Christmas. He gave himself. The great God of the universe became weak like a little baby, well, as a little baby, in real history, and on that Christmas night was held in the arms of his mother, weak and vulnerable. The God of the universe became one of us. He gave himself to us as a gift. And what does that mean? That he gave himself to us? Well, I think it means a few things. In the midst of all our frustrations and our difficulties, I think Christmas means one thing. It means I don't think we can say he doesn't care about us. He may not answer our prayers in the way we want, but we can't say he doesn't love us and care, because he gave himself to us. He became a human just like us. And in fact, he lived a life like us, a life of poverty, actually much worse than most of us lived. Grew up with poor parents, lived a hard life, and at the end of his life, actually, he suffered and died for us. So Christmas means I don't think we can say fairly of God, you don't care about us. But it says one more thing too. Christmas says to us, this great gift that God says to us, this completely unexpected gift, actually, no one really thought it was coming. It says to us, I care about you so much that I want to deal with your biggest problem. Now, that might come as a surprise to us because, well, God hasn't dealt with what seems to be our biggest problem, which is this pandemic. But God actually, in the Bible, he says there is a bigger problem than even a pandemic. There's a bigger problem than homelessness or the environment. The biggest problem you will ever face is the problem that I've been telling you about for a long time. It's the problem of your sin. See, God is most bothered about us, and he's most bothered about the most important thing about us, which is our relationship with him. We have cut ourselves off from him. We've given him the two-finger treatment, if you like. We said we don't want him. But God really wants us back. He wants to be able to forgive us rather than have to deal with us not wanting him. And so he sends the gift of his son to be one of us, to live like one of us, and ultimately to die in our place so that he could know us. You know, when the angels were on the hillside, when they were singing God's praises to the shepherds, the ordinary shepherds, singing God's praises, they said of Jesus, you know, in Bethlehem, a child has been born. He is called Jesus Christ, and he is going to be the Saviour of the world. The Saviour. See, Christmas was an unexpected gift. But from the sort of person, God, who when he says, I'm going to give you a surprise, it really is the very best gift. It's going to be a quieter Christmas this year. The pubs are going to be closed early. There's going to be fewer people around the fire and the Christmas dinner table. It's going to be quieter. But in the quiet, can I ask you, maybe as you share gifts with one another, will you give room in your heart for this greatest gift? The God who loves you, who came as a baby so that he could save you from your greatest problem, from your sins. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus at Christmas time for our sins. Help us to reflect on that. And as we reflect, see more and more the wonder of this unexpected gift. Help us to see that you would love us that much. And help us to come to Jesus, this wonderful, wonderful Son of God who gave himself for us. Amen.